Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue where I left off yesterday, talking about this beautiful hymn in Philippians chapter 2 to the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking about earlier this month, the church has a memorial, a celebration of the most holy name of Jesus. There's something about that name, the powerful name of Jesus. And this passage is one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Bible that help us understand who Jesus is. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there, and you can listen to yesterday's program right there on your computer, download it on whatever device will work for you. And I'm going to review again today a little bit of what I talked about yesterday, but then kind of move deeper into what it means for each one of us. So the beautiful passage is this, chapter 2. It's worth reading again and again. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. That's the pen of St. Paul, his heart really crying, and I see he's basically pleading with them. He said, if there's any affection, any sympathy, please, any joy, make my joy complete as your shepherd. Be of one mind. Be of the same mind. Be of one heart. Be of one love together. And then he goes on. He says, do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. And here, the great virtue of humility, the queen of virtues in many ways. You know, what are the, I can't remember the saint who said, was asked the question, what are the three great virtues? He said, humility, humility, humility. Humility crowns it all. It disposes us properly to God, to reality. It puts us in a posture of receptivity. It allows us to become, like Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Well, humility is a key part of making that real, a reality in our lives. And he goes on, let each one of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. His absolute transcendence and power and his greatness so far beyond us, he didn't hold over our heads. He became one of us. He became a human being. He's the God-man. He took on human flesh. And he says he emptied himself. He made a decision. I'm not going to insist on my power and my authority. I'm not going to hold it over everyone. I'm going to show you what my Father's heart is like. I'm going to show you what my heart is like. I'm going to show you what really, truly matters. He humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. Wow, isn't that a fundamental, central aspect of being a Christian and of Christian identity? I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a servant. I don't insist on my own way. Remember Jesus at the Last Supper, bending down and washing the feet of the disciples, the apostles, and they were like, no, 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 don't do this. This can't be right. Jesus said to Peter, you must let me wash you. Wash your feet. And that's what servants used to do, right? When the master of the house came in from the outside, the servant got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of the master. Jesus said, I'm among you as one who serves. The greatest among you shall become the servant of all. He was born in the likeness of men, Paul goes on to say, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. This is the main point I was making yesterday. That what does humility look like, actually? How is it expressed? Well, it's fundamentally expressed in obedience. Becoming obedient to God's will. Becoming obedient to Jesus' full purpose in your life. Whatever that means, whatever it means, no limit to that. Here, Jesus was obedient even to death. He came to do the will of the Father. He said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. I mean, if he was sitting here right next to me and I said, Jesus, what's at the heart of what you want me to do? What's the heart of being a follower, your follower, and being a disciple? He'd say, to love, yeah. For sure, that's the first thing we would say, right? We'd think he would say, to love God, to love neighbor. But what he made so clear, and I think what he'd say to us, is to become obedient. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Love is not just an emotion. It's not a selective thing. Love, Christian love, is rooted in God's revelation about how we ought to live. So Jesus was obedient to God's will. And that means being obedient to the commandments, but being obedient to Jesus' specific purpose for you and for me. Therefore, verse 9, chapter 2, Philippians, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here we get a glimpse into where human history is headed. And we see the Father's purpose revealed. Where's human history going? It's moving toward the final revelation of the lordship, majesty, and rule and kingship of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the sons and daughters of God who've united themselves to Christ. We're in the final stage of human history. St. John calls it the last hour, the final chapter. That final chapter is the chapter where Christ began something which he will culminate. He began in his first coming. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself and became one of us. He united himself to a fallen race of people who were living enslaved to the world of flesh and the devil, who were at war against God, under the power of sin. And he came to break that power and give humanity a new beginning. He's the one who fixes the problem. And the problem is the sin problem and the death problem. It's sin which separates us from God. Jesus said in the Gospels, check your heart. You don't have to go too far to find out what sin is. Look in your heart. It's in every one of us. He said, what's in the human heart? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, lust, hatred, right? And the apostles talk specifically about the kind of sin-sick condition of the human heart and the sins that are present there. Jesus came to start a new humanity. And in his heart is a heart that's freed from the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And sin and death has no hold on him. And he died for our sins and was raised to bring us into right relationship with God and to give us a share and make it possible for us to become children of God. So that began the final stage of human history. And it began with Jesus Christ taking his place at the right hand of the Father as King and Lord of all. All power and authority, Jesus said, belongs to him. Doesn't belong to anybody else. What is that power and authority? It's the power to make all things new. It's the power to redeem and save. It's the power to destroy the enemies of God in the works of darkness. It's the power to give an indestructible life to anyone who cries out to him for it. Jesus is absolutely in charge, and it's power to give final judgment on all things. So a lot of people in this world, and I've had my moments for sure, who think we ought to be the final judge, and we're the ones who determine what's right and wrong. Ain't going to happen that way. There's only one who has the authority and the power to determine what is good, what is true, what is right, and he will determine the destiny of the human race. It belongs to him. He's the obedient son who's triumphed over all the enemies of his father, and he's destroyed them. And so now in this last chapter of human history is the time of the church. It's the time of the emergence of those who come to receive what Christ has come to give, new life, through repentance, baptism, faith, entering his church, becoming children of God and engaging the master's mission and living it radically, radically, becoming that mustard seed conspiracy I heard a speaker say the other day, you know, the little mustard seed in this world of God's life and God's church that's radically united to Jesus Christ that will transform everything. But he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And what's going to happen is this very word spoken by Paul, Paul knows it by revelation. This comes to us from God. Reading this, you know where human history is going. And it's so important to get rightly aligned with God's purpose. Because what God the Father has determined to have happen, and it's going to happen, is that everything in creation is going to bow to his Son. I'll read it again. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All of you listening, you have a knee, you have two of them, you have a tongue, and God the Father is determined that you who are made in the image and likeness of God, that your destiny is to acknowledge the glory, the beauty, the majesty, and the triumph of his beloved Son, Jesus. And that's going to happen whether we want to do it or not. At the end of time, there's going to be those who want to bend the knee and those who don't. Those who say, "Thy will be done, Father," and those who say, "My will be done." That's what's in play right now. It has to begin now. And to be a disciple, to be a Christian, is to be someone who has a renewed mind and can see the glory and the majesty and the beauty of Jesus and the power of that name, the name of Jesus. And the posture of kneeling is just, it's an ordinary, normal, proper posture of every follower of Jesus. And you know, Jesus, Scripture tells us, is going to break the final resistance that exists in this world to God, to his Father, and to his Father's plan and purpose. He's going to destroy Satan. I mean, he's broken Satan's power. Satan has no chance of victory. But his ultimate binding and destruction is yet to come. And he still leads a resistance in this earth. Whether people know it or not, those who refuse to acknowledge the reign of Jesus Christ, the culpable unbelief, the catechism calls it, in the human heart that says no to God, "I won't bend the knee, I won't bend the knee to anybody." In that posture of radical independence and autonomy that we insist on, that is making ourselves enemies of God. It's hostility to God. And guess what? You become an enemy of Jesus Christ. He's going to destroy every opposition to his Father's kingdom. And that includes human beings who refuse to acknowledge God and receive the gift of mercy and forgiveness of sins and salvation through Christ and his church. And even the enemies of God in that great day, they're going to bend their knee. The Scripture makes it clear that for many, it's going to be a great and terrible day. They're going to pound their chests and say, "Oh my God, what was I thinking? What did I do?" And their fate is sealed. Now the Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to confess with your lips, to bend your knee, and to say, "Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord," to the glory of God the Father. There's more of this tomorrow. Hope you can tune in. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.